Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from East River 9 as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me.
Hour 2 begins here at East River 9. Whole station's going to be out here. John and Lance started it. After me, it'll be Paul Gallant, and then the Killer Bees will get you going until 6 as we wrap it up here at East River 9. We're out here pretty much any time there's a major golf championship. So with the U.S. Open going on, we're out here, and we've done it for the Open, otherwise known as the British Open, the Masters, and the PGA. So East River 9, a great host for anything you want to do. Forget about just major championships. If you just like watching golf on the weekend, they have the TVs here for you. If you want to just play, you got great views of the city. You can look right into downtown right now from my vantage point here in the bar restaurant area. TVs are going. Drinks are flowing. If you want one, of course, they'll serve you food as well. So you can get out here and enjoy your time out here. Good place to be during the summer. And if you come out here when we're out here for the next couple hours, you get a chance to win those e-bikes we keep talking about, a $4,000 value. And, of course, every Friday and Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m., they have their live music summer concert series here at East River 9. So there is an article on NFL.com. And, Sean, I'm not going to get to the Texans part of it, just to give you some time to think about it. Nico Collins is considered was the most unluckiest wide receiver in the league last year. I'm going to allow you some time to guess where that comes from. The unluckiest wide receiver in the league last year. Nico had a really good year, short-circuited a little bit by injury, but when he was healthy, he put up numbers. But still, the unluckiest wide receiver in football last year. And I'll give you some time because they have a list of guys who make the list, and Saquon Barkley fits the bill for running back. He was tackled 11 times at the one-yard line. And why would that be unlucky for him? Because of the tush push.
Yeah.
We're talking about perhaps 11 touchdowns taken off the board because he got tackled at the one. And a couple of those times happened on the same drive, I guess, as a result of penalties. And also, 7 of those times he was tackled at the one resulted in Jalen Hurts rush touchdowns, 1 Hurts pass TD, and 1 field goal. So he lost out on at least, according to the numbers compiled, 9 touchdowns because he got tackled at the 1 yard line. So Saquon Barkley, as great as this year was,
could have been.
We
better.
Knew it would have been better, yeah. Because if not for the touchdown vulture that is Jalen Hurts, but the Eagles aren't going to change that model because they always score when they do the tush push. But yeah, that guy goes for 2,000 yards as the AP NFL Offensive Player of the Year. Just think what his numbers would have been when he set a career high with 13 touchdowns. Maybe if he got a couple more opportunities, or maybe stretch that football out, maybe he gets a 20-21, and maybe we're talking about MVP stuff as opposed to simply AP NFL Offensive Player of the Year. Yeah, it's got to look. You win a Super Bowl. You run for 2,000 yards. There's not a lot to complain about. But
yeah.
You'd like a couple more touchdowns. You could have got the 20 touchdowns if not for the tush push.
That's the thing, is that he by far had the best individual season of his career, had won his first Super Bowl, and he can still sit back and, you know, probably something you only tell your friends or your closest circle, is you're like, you know, I could probably could have won MVP if they let me run it from the one every once in a while. Like, didn't have Jalen Hurts taking 7 touchdowns off of me for the touch push.
That's tough for running back.
That's only the time Saquon Barkley got tackled at the 1 yard line too. Never mind all the other guys that got tackled at the 1 yard line.
Very true. It just so happened he got affected the most, but I'm sure there are other guys who got tackled at the one, and
Dallas
then Saquon could have ran those. When a receiver gets tackled at the one, Saquon could have took advantage of that too, where he could have been the touchdown vulture. So who knows what a touchdown total would have been? But
it's like something he's not allowed to complain about because of how great his year was, but. If you are Saquon Barkley, this is just human nature. You're just like, I could have won MVP.
Do you think Saquon Barkley was a secret guy behind getting the push ban this offseason? Although it didn't work out, didn't get enough votes. But if Saquon Barkley could have been whipping up votes behind the scenes,
Whisper
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Maybe do it through your agent, you know? Has his agent be like, hey.
That's the way you do it.
Hey, you know, I also represent. I don't know. Someone on the Packers. I can get in Matt LaFleur's ear and try to get the Packers to try to nix this thing.
Yeah, you keep the stink off of you. You let your agent do the dirty work. And then you're talking about, hey, don't quarterbacks get enough credit? Why are we handing touchdowns to quarterbacks?
It's also dangerous.
When that should be guys can get hurt. I know the guy who's doing it squats over 600 pounds, but he could get hurt. Saquon Barkley, great season. Just could have been even better. Okay. So Nico Collins is also on the list. Why was he the most unlucky receiver last year?
I assume it's a different formulation. It's not he also got tackled at the one a bunch, right?
It was not. It was not that.
Calvin Johnson that 1 year, or actually those couple years that happened to Calvin Johnson. I think it's some sort of percentage of targets that were deemed poorly thrown or inaccurate.
That is not a bad choice, but it's incorrect. It is the number of yards he lost because of penalties. Number
of
yards
Tunsil
taken.
Got it.
I don't. Well, they didn't go Laremy Tunsil,
but you can
probably imagine it's offensive line or maybe some offensive pass interference on a screen. Didn't he lose yardage on a screen that went for a touchdown? Was that him? And Laremy Tunsil was like, what, illegally downfield?
Yeah,
it
was the first play of the Cowboys.
Play against the Cowboys, right?
Yeah, I forgot.
And,
if it was
he took a screen for a touchdown.
Yeah,
he took a screen for a touchdown, I think. And I think maybe Tunsil was illegally downfield. I forgot exactly what the penalty was.
75 yards right there. He got taken off because of penalty.
So it only totaled 142, but it's 20 more than the next guy, which George Pickens and then Juwan Johnson of the Saints and Jackson Smith and Jigbo. But yeah, as good as his season was, there could have been an extra bill plus if it wasn't for penalties committed by likely Texans offensive linemen. And the biggest one, I think, is the one we featured, the one against the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. The Texans went on to win that one because the Cowboys weren't good. But yeah, unluckiest receiver in football, according to this article. And your guess is probably a better way to determine it. How many off-target throws to a receiver who was open?
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, or when you're open, you aren't targeted. I'm sure that's maybe you don't consider that luck. Maybe the random formula this writer put together doesn't consider that luck. Yeah, maybe it's a different word for that. But, yeah, Nico Collins right up there with the most unlucky people in the world. Also,
unlucky receivers in the NFL.
unlucky receivers who play in the NFL. There it is. Alamidus Sakias makes a list because, if you don't know, he's the now Bear receiver who played for the Commanders last year. He lost out on 3 TDs because of penalties. For a guy who doesn't put up a lot of numbers, catching 3 extra touchdown passes and having them taken off the board, particularly in a free agency year, might have affected the way he got paid. But, so he makes the list as a receiver. So that's the only Texan, at least Nico Collins, the only one considered unlucky. Although, I don't know how you miss out on C.J. Stroud for standing behind that offensive line.
Well,
maybe, once again, that's not considered unlucky.
I would also say that Nico Collins wasn't the most unlucky receiver on his team, given that
very true.
Tank Dell had a had a practice squatter go into his leg and break it, and now he'd be out for the rest of the season.
And Stephon Diggs tore his ACL as well. So maybe he didn't want to go to the dark side of sports there and mention guys getting hurt.
Okay, yeah,
he just wanted to get, because it's, you know, it's supposed to be a little fun article on
June 10th,
Friday the he did it because it's Friday the 13th. He wanted to, you know, do something. But generally when I think of Friday the 13th, I think of guys dying in movies and TV
guys
shows.
Guys getting mangled like Tank Dell did.
Yeah, like Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell. So maybe there was a way to tie those two guys in. But, yeah, Nico Collins, unlucky, mostly because of offensive line play.
Do you think Nico Collins does, they probably still have a group chat, you know, with the receivers, and he's just like, man, just saw this article talking about how unlucky I was.
I don't
really
think
sucks,
he'll see
right?
it. Yeah, guys, look how I lost out on 142 yards and at least one touchdown. I don't know how penalties may have negated other ones, but we know of at least one he lost out on against the Cowboys. So, I doubt that Nico's considering himself unlucky. He got that new contract, put up another 1,000-yard season, considered one of the best receivers in football, and now the guy who caused a lot of the unluckiness is in Washington, so he doesn't have to worry about it anymore. So maybe Nico Collins has an even bigger year, stays healthy, and doesn't have penalties getting in his way. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We got a couple more seconds to go. In fact, only one really of open stuff because Michael Carroll is going to join us right around 11:30. So if you want to talk about anything other than TV and movies, because that'll begin at 11:30, you should call in right now, 713-780-3776. Got a couple more segments to go here at East River 9 as we enjoy what is the U.S. Open on the televisions. We will be back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from East River 9 as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Michael Carroll will join us here in a couple minutes, maybe right around 10. And he'll get you updated on what's going on this weekend in TV and movies. But I mentioned this earlier, and the player in question was Giannis. Giannis tweeted out, "I really miss Woj," and it led to an article that I read about Woj is really missed during this time in what was deemed the NBA offseason, which immediately caught my eye. Wait a minute. I know it's the offseason for almost every team, but we do still have the finals. And I don't remember Woj breaking news, because generally guys don't get traded. I mean, it's possible. Like, once the season is over, I was looking it up, just trying to make sure. You can trade someone now, as long as they aren't up for a team option or player option, and they're still under contract. You can trade someone now. Those things just generally don't happen in between the finals and the draft when that stuff picks up. But is there a big hole in people's lives that Woj isn't around to intimate that things might happen? I think. Shams is doing a pretty good job suggesting that a lot of news is going to happen between the end of the season and really the beginning of next season. But Sean and I have talked about Woj and going to try to make the Bonnies a basketball power. Anyone can tweet the news, man. Break the news. I don't need it to be Woj. I don't think Woj as a personality was someone I was looking to. We consume Woj through tweets. I think the void has been filled. Sounds will show up on whatever show you need him to let you know that the Rockets are involved in Kevin Durant and
Giannis
is
four other teams
open to leaving. Four other teams involved. So five fan bases can get excited or not, depending on how you feel about Kevin Durant. And he lets you know that Giannis may be considering leaving. And you got others out there. I don't know. I haven't thought once about, man, what would Woj be tweeting about right now? Between games 3 and 4.
All I took from this is that this is either this is more than likely a subtle shot at Shams,
because of what he's putting out there about Giannis.
Yes, that's what I think it is. That's I think it is literally that deep of the Shams tweet that I think most people have kind of like already moved on from and forgot about, where he was like, Giannis is expected to weigh all options this offseason or whatever it was, whereas like he's considering all options moving forward in the future this offseason about where he wants to take his career or something. And people were just like, wow, Giannis might leave. And I think Giannis is Mr. Loyalty. He's going to be loyal to the soil. I think he's gearing up to say that he's going to stay. That's how I would take it.
I think that's going to happen. After the initial, he could be interested in leaving.
Yeah.
All we've heard is that the Bucks are doing what they can to make sure he stays, and Giannis's preference is to stay, and he's not actively looking for a way out. I think it would have to be where the Bucks go, you know what, we'd actually like you to go before anything really got serious, and we know they're not going to do that. Yeah. So you probably are dead on that he didn't appreciate whatever Shams had on him being put out in that matter, and now he's the one who's being questioned about his loyalty to the Bucks, where even in the actual tweet in the article, he hadn't made a decision one way or the other, which if you don't make a decision, then that means your lack of loyalty is in play, and now you have to push back on any time anyone says, I'm leaving. And you know what? I'd rather have Giannis stay in Milwaukee, to be honest. Just get that one out of the way, because a Giannis potential trade feels like it's going to take forever to get done. It just feels like it, unless he goes, this is the team I want to play for, and it's the only team I want to play for. But if it becomes a bidding war, that feels like one of those things that it could happen a couple ways. It could be where no one brings an offer to the table that the Bucks thinks is commensurate with its value, or we just go back and forth upping offers until Giannis says, actually, I don't even want to play there, so make sure it's here. I would like him to come out and tell me, stay, or tell the NBA world stay so we can move on.
It would be a lot easier.
Just to speed this whole thing up. Because Giannis watch, which hasn't even taken full effect because he won't say one way or the other, probably is going to get overblown by anyone who has a platform to talk about it.
Is this a weird, like, don't show up the NBA Finals thing? Where I remember that happened.
Where trades. Yeah, I think so.
I remember that happened.
If this was David Stern's NBA, definitely.
Yeah, that happened. I forgot which World Series it was, but where A-Rod announced that he was going to opt out, or at least like it got reported that he was going to opt out like before Game 4 of a World Series, and people got mad at him. I think part of that's just because he was Alex Rodriguez, and at that time people just got mad at Alex Rodriguez for everything. Rightly so most of the time, I would say. But I do wonder if this is like a thing of you don't want to announce that a top three player is going to demand a trade before Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Although KD gets a pass, because everyone knows he's going to trade it, I guess.
Yeah,
not,
I mean,
like a bombshell.
That was, yeah, that wouldn't be. That's not a surprise. We all knew moment they floated his name around the trade deadline that this was going to happen.
That's actually useful for, like, all right, we still need to fill like 30 minutes of a NBA whatever, the Jump or whatever on ESPN. Like, we still need to fill this thing. Like, we can, one of the later segments can be a Kevin Durant trade update. But I think that's part of it. But I mean, also, if he's staying, like, just say you're staying. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a way to look at it, that move along. But to his point, I never said I was leaving, and maybe that report by Shams isn't even accurate. So why do I have to come out and say I'm staying just because of a report that I won't even acknowledge?
Yeah, but if it annoys you so much, you should just nip it in the bud. Like, that's where it's like, if it bothers you,
you got to be
passive
aggressive.
Okay.
No, passive aggressive is what we do here.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard. We're a passive aggressive society online, unless we're just flat out a-holes to people. So I'm not going to say Shams is wrong. I'm not going to say I don't like what he did. I'm just going to let him know that I prefer the guy whose job he took. and let people speculate.
I mean, the
on
guy
what
retired
I mean.
Too. Like, it's not like Sean.
That's true. Shaken. It's not like ran him out of there. He yeah. left. I mean, he ESPN would have loved to kept. ESPN would have had him around for years, and Shams would have had to keep doing. I forgot exactly who he was working for at the time. He would have kept making appearances on FanDuel TV or whatever the hell his appearances were, wherever they were. Now he's doing the rounds on ESPN.
Yeah, kept flirting with
ESPN. ESPN didn't want. Yeah, well, he can do that anyway, I guess. He can work for whoever he wants to do that. Woj left on his own accord because he was actually sick and tired of doing the things that Giannis would like him to do. Break news, having to call every agent and general manager in the world to find out what's going on. He thinks it's less sleazy and less cumbersome to deal with college athletics.
Yeah. By the way.
Which has his own issues.
Not to, like, sidetrack this because we'll get to Michael Carroll next. I don't want to keep him waiting. He's a busy man. I actually think it's kind of bad for the league if Giannis stays in this terrible Milwaukee situation, but that's another thing. If Giannis was in the finals, we wouldn't be like, who's the face of the league? It'd be like, Giannis is obviously the face of the league.
You know, it's...
And it's, he's just a guy who hasn't been out of the first round since 2022?
Yeah, face of the league and can't get past the second round. Yeah, can't get past the first round now.
He's just signing up to, like, do that again at least one more time?
Well, it's funny because a guy on his roster that they traded for to help avoid that is a guy who did that for years. Where Dame is a guy who spent a lot of his time talking about, I'm not going to run from the grind, I want to win at Portland, until he got to his mid-30s, at least near his mid-30s, and said, nah, this isn't, I got to go. I don't want to do this anymore. So they made the move. Will Giannis suffer that same fate where he goes into his early 30s and goes, I'm not going anywhere, I want to win here, and then eventually he comes to the realization that I can't do it here anymore, so I got to go, and he leaves a couple years too late? Maybe. As far as is it good for the league, I know basketball nerd guys, the guys who do the podcasts, who make their living strictly talking about basketball, love the thought of Giannis staying. I don't hear a little. I think there's some, you know, people like guys staying with one team.
That's what it is.
That's a thing as well.
It's the easiest thing in the world to be like, he needs to be a one-team guy, where I'm like, I don't know. I would like to watch Giannis, like, play in playoff games. That would be cool,
that
too.
Matter more than first rounds?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he had done that for a three- or four-year span in Milwaukee, and things have shifted where now it's all about is he healthy or is Dame healthy, and can Kyle Kuzma possibly be someone you can rely on in the playoffs? The answer is no to that, by the way. But we're in a stage where he might simply not know. I ain't going to say what's best for him. He may just simply believe that Milwaukee can, after being talked to, fix whatever the issues are. And some people are suggesting a gap year where they get their finances in order. But the question was asked about that gap year. What's going to happen in 26-27 for the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yeah, how did they improve this roster?
That's going to change things for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
all the people saying that Giannis should stay, like, how are you going to improve this already aging, decrepit roster around him? Which, by the way, you're paying Dame Lillard over $50 million to rehab an Achilles at 35 years old.
Yeah, and of course, because Giannis is so great, you're never in a spot where you can use one of the draft picks you still do have control of to draft a potential good number two or great number two. And that's what Dame was there for, and he's a small guard who now gets injured quite a bit. So if he wants to stay, cool. I don't have a real dog in a fight. Obviously, if it was a rumor that the Rockets and the Bucks were having serious conversations, then yeah, Giannis, say you want to be a Rocket. That's fun. But if it's just, I'm not really sure, the Bucks aren't really interested in trading him, just get it out of the way and say he's going to be a Buck, and we can move on and not care about Giannis other than when he puts up his great numbers, but we know it's not going to lead to titles. There's enough else going on in the NBA where Giannis can hang out in Milwaukee and enjoy his time there, and we can focus on other things. And speaking of other things, we'll be joined by Michael Carroll when we come back. The host of Comicast will be here with us to give you an update on what's going on in movies and television. But before I do that, or we do that, let's talk again about Monument Chevrolet. So I've talked about the family atmosphere, talked about what they do to get you into a great car, and how honest and quick they will be about it, and make sure they do anything that you like to make sure you have a great experience when you're out there. Let's talk about their parts and service. So they're one-stop shop. It could be parts and service. It could be a pre-owned vehicle. They do it all. So you can make Miami Chevrolet the one place you go to when you have an issue with a car, or maybe just looking for a car. That's how big that campus is. And, in fact, when I met the guys out there, they mentioned it being a campus. So they have a wide lot for a big lot, excuse me, for their pre-owned stuff. They have a great inventory, whether it be a Blazer or Trax or Silverado for their new stuff. And, of course, they have their pre-owned vehicles as well that you can take a look at. It's all there for you on MonumentChevrolet.com. Check out the entire inventory. Check out the prices. Look for the savings. They're there for you. You'll get yourself into a great car. And once you drive on off that lot, you can come back anytime you want and talk to them. Your family at that point. MonumentChevrolet.com is a website. It's in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. Great cars, great people, and remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll joins us here. You can listen to Comicast wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, you can listen to it on ESPN 97.5. He does that podcast with John Lee. Michael, welcome, and tell the people about the latest issue of Comicast. They want to take a listen.
Well, thank you, Dell. So on the latest issue of Comicast, sadly, my co-host John Lee was out due to his daughter Bree being sick. So it actually ended up working out because we had a guest that day, Fred of Derf Designs, if you want to check out his work, derfdesigns.com, D-E-R-F. And we talked about Comic Palooza. Of course, that's happening June 20th through the 22nd, where Jong and I and Shalice Williams of Real Movie Junkie and Brad Gilmore of Hall of Fame here on 97.5 will be podcasting live from the show floor Saturday, June 21st at 3 p.m., And then Fred and I got into a non-spoiler review of How to Train Your Dragon, which that's the big film of this weekend that's premiering. And we got into a spoiler review of Predator Killer of Killers, which that movie is phenomenal.
So you can hear that on Comicast anytime. That's the latest issue of that podcast hosted by Michael Carroll in this instance, but normally Michael Carroll and John Lee. So, Michael, I watched a movie. I talked about it earlier. It was on Apple. You did not recommend it. You didn't even mention it, and rightfully so. Echo Valley on Apple TV Plus, the Julianne Moore, Sydney Sweeney joint, where Julianne Moore plays a mom who is trying to mother a drug addict daughter in Sydney Sweeney. That's how I can describe the movie.
That's what I've heard about this movie. It's kind of eh.
Yeah, and Sean and I talked about Apple TV Plus and their inability to market anything, even when they have big stars in it. Like, I somehow saw a trailer for it on YouTube, but I did not know that it premiered last Friday. I did not know it was available to watch. I just happened to go to Apple TV yesterday and go, oh, look at that. Okay, I'll watch it. And maybe they were right not to promote it so much. Maybe that's their model. I know we'll hire these big stars, put a lot of money into it, but if we know it's not a great product, we don't want to look like we're throwing promotional dollars behind it.
Well, it's weird because this movie is actually premiering on what to watch, like just not only my list, but other what to watch lists this week. Like, I didn't know this movie released last Friday. I had no idea.
June 6th.
Yeah. I know. I just Googled it, and I was like, wait, what? This movie released last week? What is happening with Apple TV Plus right now? And it's a good streamer, but, yeah, they don't market their stuff. I don't know. It's hit or miss with their marketing on certain things. And typically, I think a lot of us talk about Apple TV Plus as being great for quality over quantity. But in this case, maybe not so much. And it's disappointing, too, because it is from the creator of Mayor of Easttown, which is, by all accounts, a very good show, but not in this case.
Yeah, it's no The Gorge.
Thank you, Sean. No, it's not.
Thank you.
Yeah. True quality.
He's Anya right. Taylor Joy head, stand up.
That's right. Sydney Sweeney can't hold a candle.
Yeah, no love for Sydney Sweeney? No?
Okay. I told
a lot of misses on that IMDb page.
Yeah, if we're being honest, look, I understand everyone loves a pretty blonde white woman, I guess. At least enough people do that she's very popular. But if we're talking about the products that are being put out, this movie fits right in line with a lot of stuff.
Well,
if we're talking, Nate, Michael,
yes.
I don't know if you have her IMDb in front of you, but can you name a Sydney Sweeney project you actually liked because of the content of the TV show or movie?
The only one that comes to mind, but I'm not a fan of it, is Euphoria. That's the only one I can think of that's like of a high quality, I guess. I don't know. I mean, not knowing exactly.
Anyone but you? Not an anyone but you fan?
No, but I haven't seen
that
either.
Are you a Glenn Powell head?
Yeah,
romantic.
No, not
romantic
right.
Comedy featuring Glenn Powell.
Not a Glenn Powell head. Get
I know. What,
here.
What am I doing?
Yeah, I mean, she's I guess now in her mid-20s. She's going to have a longer career in front of her. Like you said, Sean, there's going to be some misses. I'm sure there'll be some hits. But as it stands now, we're leaning heavily to the misses, right?
I was going to jump in and say, as long as it's, I mean, we all know Madam Web. That released last year.
We do all know Madam Web.
But we do
I
know that.
Her web connects us all.
I feel like a lot of those stars got bamboozled on that one. So I'm not going to put that on.
Yeah, I'm not going to blame her for that.
Yeah. Looking back a year later, now that Isabella Marced is on the TV show.
The Last of Us.
In Superman, she's in that.
Yeah,
too.
She's going to be in Superman. It's like
Peacemaker. What? She's in
that
a bunch
was
of stuff.
A year ago. She was in this terrible movie.
Yeah, they got all bamboozled on that one. Everyone got tricked on that.
You give her credit, Sydney Sweeney, for The White Lotus. She was in that.
Oh, there you go.
There's a couple things in season one.
Immaculate.
Yeah.
So
yes, Sean, we've heard your love of Immaculate when she plays the pregnant nun who doesn't know how she got pregnant. But moving on.
Go ahead, Del. Don't let Sean derail you. Don't let Sean do this to you.
I was figuring out a way to respond, but thank you, Michael, for pushing me forward. Okay.
He'll pull you in, and it's just disregard him. Just keep going. What were you going to say, Del?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get pulled into your web, web that connects us all.
Yeah, you're Madam Web, Sean.
Good one.
So let's recommend something for people to watch that's actually good, or maybe that doesn't exist this week. What do you got, Michael?
Well, for folks that are Madam Web fans, Dakota Johnson's in a new movie, Materialist, with Pedro Pascal and Chris Evans. That's more of a romantic drama and a deconstructed romantic comedy kind of thing. It's getting good reviews, 87% with critics, 75% with audiences. So if you want something of the more like relationship drama type thing, there's that for you, as well as The Life of Chuck. It's not a romantic drama, but it is a drama that I talked about a couple of weeks ago after I got a chance to watch it. 81% with critics, 88% with audiences. Phenomenal movie. Very good. It's more of a feel-good type drama. And it's got some comedic elements to it. Great cast. I highly recommend that one. But I understand it's not for everyone if you want to just zone out and chill at the theater.
Yeah.
Of course,
it's directed by Mike Flanagan. Mike Flanagan, the guy behind all the horror stuff that you see on Netflix. This is a departure from that. You mentioned the great cast.
Yes.
You've got Tom Hiddleston and Mia Sara's back. If you remember her, she was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think she did some other things, but she kind of just disappeared. She didn't want to act anymore until she got this script and goes, you know what? You actually want me for this? I'll do it. So if you get someone out of retirement who went into it willingly for a movie, maybe give it a watch. And of course, you got Mark Hamill in it, Karen Gillan's in it as well. So as you said, a great cast. Back to The Materialist for a second. This is the movie, Pedro Pascal's in it, Dakota Johnson, and also Captain America himself.
Mm-hmm. Chris Evans.
And Chris Evans. No, it's Captain America. Excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
Former Captain America to me.
Yeah, I was going
to
say Anthony Mackie.
There's a new Captain America now, but the ex-Captain America, Chris Evans. And this is the guy who said, in a joking way, but maybe even a little seriously, when we're talking about bad movies and hits and misses, that they're doing a little a press run for the movie, and he was standing next to Dakota Johnson and Pedro Pascal, and they're talking about if they would allow each other to control like their movie choices going forward. And he goes, yeah, you should guys let me control your choices so you can ruin your ruin your career like I've ruined mine. So so he's had several misses when he's not playing cap. This one, getting good reviews. So maybe Chris Evans is back. We will see. And speaking of Chris Evans, we were talking about Gray Man earlier, Sean. That was maybe one of his misses with that mustache. But
I think that's fair to say.
But I also
maybe he'll turn it around with this one.
I don't think. Well, with Gray Man, that's, I don't know. I wouldn't put that on him. But like with Red One and some of the other choices, yeah, I completely agree. This one, by all accounts, Shalice Williams, friend of Comic Cast, she had a chance to host the Houston screening this past Monday and got to see the movie, and she actually covered the premiere of it. And Chris Evans was the standout for her in terms of what he brings to this role. Obviously, you have Dakota Johnson. Obviously, you have Pedro Pascal doing what they do. But Chris Evans is a true standout in this as playing the ex of Dakota Johnson, who's not – Dakota Johnson meets Pedro Pascal, who is the rich guy to her, like, matchmaker. And then Chris Evans is the broke ex-boyfriend that actually brings a lot of pathos to this role. So Chris Evans, actually a standout in this one.
So credit to Cap, still got it in him. That's America's ass, as we've been told before. We'll see if that ass is displayed in The Materialist, and I'm sure there'll be some romantic scene between him and Dakota Johnson. So is Captain America dating Madam Web, as we all tie it into the things we generally nerd out about.
We knew.
And then we have Reed. So Reed Richards has taken Captain America's girl, who happens to be Madam Web. There it is. It all comes together.
What a tangled web we
weave. All right.
Okay. Thank you, Sean. You got more in your bag. We'll find out as we continue. Speaking of Reed Richards and the Fantastic Four, David's calling in about that. What's up, David?
Yeah, so I am not really a big DC fan, but I am a follower of Superman, and I have seen many, many, many trailers on Superman. Mm-hmm. However, I have not seen anything at all, at least on TV, for any trailers of the new Fantastic Four coming out. Can you explain that?
I have seen the trailers. When is the Fantastic Four coming out, Michael? You know,
July 24th.
Yeah, I think there's a two-week difference in their release date.
Yeah. I will say James Gunn has been very active on social media, and also you've seen the most recent Superman trailer came out this week. I think, what do we have, like two Fantastic Four trailers so far? Like a teaser and then an actual trailer? Is that what it's been?
Yeah, but there's been other stuff that's come out. It just depends on your, like, algorithm, what you're watching. If you're watching a lot of, like, TNT or stuff like that, you're going to see a lot of Superman. Like, if you watch a lot of the Disney-owned networks, you're going to see a lot of Fantastic Four. Like, there is marketing for it. It may not appear to you, depending on your algorithms. It may not appear to you depending on what networks you're watching.
Yeah, and it comes out 2 weeks later than Superman. Yeah. So it is like a little bit later in the kind of push, the PR push cycle.
Because, yeah, with Superman, you're getting a big push right now because it's only 2 weeks away. And they're doing a whole special screening with Fandango that's, I think, already sold out in most instances on July 8th. I mean, they're really pushing Superman right now, so that's going to be the prime thing you're going to watch. Fantastic Four, it'll probably pick up after Superman, after that week of release. But there is marketing out there. It's just kind of depending on where you're at. Because I've seen a bunch, so.
Yeah, David, like Michael explained, sometimes it's just what you watch and what they cater to you. But, I mean, I don't know if you're a frequent user of YouTube, but if you just type in Fantastic Four, you'll see a lot of promotional stuff that way, mm-hmm. and on Twitter as well. So it'll be there for you if you're looking for it. And if not, you're not. So, but, you know, just depends on what you're viewing. Okay, Michael, let's get back to what we should or shouldn't watch. What's next?
Probably the pick of the weekend for a lot of people, but this one is interesting just because it's How to Train Your Dragon, the 2025 version. This is the remake of the 2010 version. I saw it on Monday. It's good, but I also inherently always thought the first How to Train Your Dragon was good. The story, I always enjoyed it. This one is basically a carbon copy of that. like in video game terms, this is a remaster where they put a fresh coat of paint on it. There's some subtle changes, but for the most part, it's the same story. So nothing took me by surprise. It's not adding anything new to it, but that's not a bad thing. My screening had a lot of like younger, you know, audiences and families and stuff, and they were just eating it up. So if you got kids, if you want to take your family out this weekend to go watch a movie, How to Train Your Dragon is not a bad movie to watch. 77% with critics, 99% with audiences. It's one of the better live action remakes. But for me, I have a hard time separating the bigger conversation of, are studios just going to just keep doing this where they remake stuff and they're not even adding anything to it? It's just a like carbon copy of that old version that we saw. And that's where you get into dicey like areas. But for this one, it's good. Like, I mean, you're not going to be, especially if you got a family, it's not a bad movie to go watch.
It's a carbon copy of a good movie. So
yeah,
it's like,
I mean, yeah, but
still
like
pretty good.
Every beat, it moves the same way. Like I remember
Gerard Butler's still in it.
Gerard Butler's in it, and
I'm in.
The cast is good. The one person I was concerned about was the Mason Tams, I believe is how you say his name, who plays Hiccup, because it was like he doesn't really exude the nerd energy that Hiccup had in the original one. But like by the end of it, he won me over. Nico Parker's great. Nick Frost is good. Like, it's a good cast. It great action sequences. The dragon flying's good. Like, it's a very good movie that's worth your time if you haven't seen it, or maybe your kids haven't seen it. It'll discover a new generation. But is there a bigger conversation to be had about live action remakes? 100%. That's not here for, not right now, but it's definitely like on that spectrum of what are we doing? What are we doing, Hollywood? But
the conversation would be very short for me. I don't like them.
Yeah.
That's how I would begin it in the conversation. I'm not looking for them. Like, I remember watching the first How to Train Your Dragon. Was I asking for, hey, can I get humans to do this one? Nope. Wasn't looking for it.
Sure.
But we're talking about Mason Thames. We're talking about the kid from Black Phone.
Yeah.
He's got chops. We'll see how good he is in Black Phone 2, as that one's. Speaking of things, did that need to get redone? I guess it did. As I think from what I can tell, I watched a trailer for that. His younger sister will be the person in danger as opposed to him. Ethan Hawke is still in that one, so we'll see how that one goes. So How to Train Your Dragon 2, if you didn't see it as a kid or you have kids and you never saw the animated version, I'm going to assume, I don't know, but the animated version probably maybe hits better. But Michael said, you went to go see it. So
yeah.
How to Train Your Dragon, the live-action version, is a pretty good movie as well. Maybe see the first animated version and then see the live-action version to make your comparison.
Honestly, you're going to watch the same thing. So honestly, you're going to watch the same. Like, if you layered them on top, I wouldn't be shocked if it's, like, shot
just
for
side
shot.
To side.
Yeah, like, there's plenty of moments, and you see them in the trailer, and like people have done comparisons, like they're shot for shot, like maybe some of the wording's changed, hit this or that's a little bit changed. It's the same movie. So if you want to go watch it, never seen it, might as well go see the new one, or just bring up the 2010 version. It's up to you. But like, yeah, it's basically the same movie. So
yes, so I guess maybe you don't like cartoons and you want to see an animated dragon, but human beings around it.
Yeah.
Maybe go see the movie in theaters.
Yeah, if you want to see some realistic looking dragons, yeah, you got this one. So, but that's probably the big one of the weekend at theaters. There's a movie called The Unholy Trinity, starring Sam Jackson, Pierce Brosnan. It's a Western. Never heard of it. Also, probably skip it. The 10% right now, Rotten Tomatoes. So, skip that one. When we talk about streaming, though, you mentioned Echo Valley, which that was actually on my list this week to talk about, but we'll skip that one. I was going to also say skip that one. But Deep Cover is a new movie on Prime Video that's actually getting very good reviews, 95% with critics, 82% with audiences. And it is an action comedy starring Bryce Dallas Howard, Orlando Bloom, Nick Muhammad, and Sean Bean as a group of improv actors who are tasked with going undercover in London's gang world. So there you go.
So if they want to really play this right, and for comedy's sake, Sean Bean has to die, right? Because he dies in all his movies. So If it's centered as a comedy, though.
Yeah,
right.
It's centered as a comedy.
They're spies.
Yeah.
You're gonna center as a comedy. Sean Bean has to die for comedy's sake.
Yeah.
just add it on to all the other times he dies in movies. When he was in Lord of the Rings, or when he was in this case a TV show in Game of Thrones. Sean Bean, for comedy's sake, and he can die in a comedic way. But I need that to happen.
He is the undercover cop that offers them the role. It's very possible that that's the thing that triggers them and gets them stuck or something like that. I'm guessing. I don't know yet.
Oh, he needs to catch a bullet then, right?
He needs to die.
Just for the sake of keep the consistency of Sean Bean and who he is as an actor. Great actor. Man just happens to die in a lot of his roles. So I saw the promos for that and didn't think it would be good. I just assumed, but I'm glad to hear differently. Maybe that'll be something I watch this weekend. You got anything else, Michael, before we wrap it up?
There's season two of FUBAR, the Arnold Schwarzenegger series on Netflix. Now it has Carrie Ann Moss along with Monica Barboa. Mixed things on that. I've seen people like, I can't finish this. This the first episode I couldn't even finish. So I don't know about that one. If you're a fan of FUBAR, the season one, like maybe you're into it. Resident Alien season four premieres on Peacock. And then one that has a Houston tie that I wanted to highlight, Trainwreck, the Astral World Tragedy, the Netflix series.
Oh, I did see that.
It's premiering this Netflix, weekend. Yeah. It's part of their larger like Trainwreck limited docuseries. The first part was Trainwreck Woodstock 99. This one, of course, is examining the Travis Scott concert tragedy. So that's on Netflix this weekend.
All right. That'll wrap it up for – well, I would say that, but now I just got a text from Sean that Paul's behind a train. I imagine that's what that means, Sean. He's stuck behind a train?
Yeah, yeah. The classic East River 9 train that gets Paul, I'd say, like, 90% of the remotes that we have at East River 9.
Yeah.
It got me the one time that I went.
It is a thing. Sometimes it happens early. Generally it happens right around the time Paul's supposed to roll in. So, Michael, if you got more on your list, we can stick with that. But right before we'll go to break here shortly. But if you had anything, I'm never going to get to this. We don't have enough time. If you got something, now's your time to shine.
Deep cuts for sickos only.
Yeah.
Oh, you want a sickle
the B-sides.
One?
Yeah.
Give us the B-sides, Michael.
This is a movie that actually has already come out, but I put it on the list just because I feel like Sean would eat this one up.
There we go.
Plane. You remember this movie?
Yeah.
It's on Netflix this weekend.
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah. Oh!
It's on Netflix this weekend.
Speaking of Gerard Butler.
Yes. Yeah, my
Gerard
guy.
Butler's in that one too, right?
Yep. Oh, Gerard Butler, done. Mike Coulter. The Plane. That's the name of the movie.
Pretty good.
Is it?
Can we trust Sean when he says pretty good about something?
It's pretty entertaining. How about that?
In your sicko way.
Okay, there it is.
It's pretty entertaining.
There it is.
Is that not what we watch cinema for? Is to be entertained and transported to into a different world where Gerard Butler...
A different world?
Yes. A different world where Gerard Butler is a pilot who... through no fault of his own, crashes his plane on a remote island as he's, I think, trying to get back. Like, it's a little bit of a one last job thing because he's trying to get back to his daughter who's, like, graduating or something.
Of course. There's always a daughter.
Of course. This is also a Gerard Butler staple in all of his movies as a Gerard Butler historian. believe it or not, he plays a divorced dad. So it's a broken home. He's trying to be there for his daughter, even though he can't daily, you know, given the life that a pilot has to live, the lifestyle, the transient nature of their job.
Please tell me you have a business card with that. Like, please.
Gerard Butler, historian.
Please tell me. I need that. Cleaner is on HBO Max, or Max, whatever you call it nowadays. That's the movie with Daisy Ridley as a cleaner of a window cleaner,
I have seen this movie. Yes, she was former military. We find out at the end why she's out. It's used as a way to denigrate her because, you washed out of the military. Then we find out, of course, it was justified because, of course, it had to be justified. I will say, if you just want some Daisy Ridley because you love Star Wars, it's there for you. It's fine. It's a familiar face in a role. It's another one of those. I'm on my phone.
It's one of those. It feels like, based off the trailers, it feels like just a whatever action movie that I'll put on and like, oh, okay, that was all right, and then move on.
It's a transactional relationship of I need something to watch this afternoon, and I have nothing to watch, and Daisy Ridley needs to pay her mortgage. So that's why she's in this movie.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because that Star Wars movie is a couple years away now. So until then, the one she's going to be in. I will say I'm trying to think, Magpie that she's in, it's a smaller movie. That one's actually pretty good. It's about a woman who has a young daughter who's an actor. Her husband's kind of just watch it. Her husband's not great. I'll just put it that way. Watch it. That one's pretty good. It's a smaller movie. It won't have the feel of The Cleaner, but I think if you just want to, but this one you're actually gonna have to watch. You can't be on your phone. But I will tell you, Sean, no subtitles, so you should be okay with that. If you decide you want to check out a Daisy Ridley joint that doesn't involve her as a window cleaner for a skyscraper.
I'll say I don't know if
is the plot of Cleaner.
I don't think I've seen a Daisy Ridley joint where she's not playing Rey Skywalker. So, or no, I'm sorry, this Rey Palpatine.
Rey, but now. She changed her name.
Okay. Whatever.
She did.
Whatever.
She did.
Hence the name of the movie. What's the name of the movie, Sean?
Rise of Skywalker.
The Last Skywalker. Or
The Rise of Skywalker.
No, it is Rise of Skywalker. But I'd rather just call it The Last Skywalker and combine the second trilogy movie with a sequel movie to the third.
Her mama named her Rey Palpatine. I'm going to call her Rey Palpatine, all right?
Her mama didn't name her Palpatine. That name got kept quiet.
Until they remember
J.J. Abrams named her Palpatine. Yeah, we waited to the third movie to find out what her last name was. Let's do this. Because we gotta wipe out what Rian Johnson did in the second one. Okay, I think Paul is still probably stopped behind a train, but we'll go to break here. And if he's not here, we'll just do whatever random stuff we want, since it's now part of his show. Thank you, Michael, for joining us.
Thank you.
You can hear Comic-Cast next week. He'll do that with John Lee. It's, I believe, 8 to 9 next week on ESPN 975 on Wednesday.
Yes, correct.
Right after Hall of Fame. And Michael Carroll joins us every Friday. Thank you once again. This show's over, but apparently we're not done for the day. Sean is, I think, because, you know, he's been up since, I don't know, 6 o'clock. We will continue here at East River 9. Through 6, me, until Paul gets here, we will be back.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with a simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelance profiles, get help drafting a job post, or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them to take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com today and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.